been no 9/11 if Bush and Cheney.
You think
had
that
not
was
a
right stag fire there, the 9/11?
When you look at the facts from Richard Gage's wonderful architectural analysis of the buildings, and you look at the facts, and my knowing what was happening in a air defense drill that coincidentally Cheney has asked, requested. There's paperwork showing that Cheney requested the air defenses back down on the 10th and 11th. by the way, the opportunity, the clear, it's an intelligent, informed person has to conclude that it's highly probable that Bush and Cheney permitted it to happen, and it's also highly probable it was an inside deal. Overwhelming. The evidence is overwhelming for that.
Inside being, you mean a member of the family kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't think the CIA participated, and you have lots of reasons for saying that. But I believe.
How about Halliburton?
Halliburton might have.
That's it seems like a corporate job more than a military job.
Oh, definitely. And the fact that the 15 of the hijackers, if they were on the planes, come from Saudi Arabia, all kinds of phenomena. The Bush family benefited overwhelmingly from what happened. The Bush cousin, Marvin, was the owner of the Securicom company that had the security contracts for the World Trade buildings 2 years before. That Silverstein, the principal partner in the ownership group for the World Trade Center.
They got the lease on that, like, what, 2-3 weeks before it actually happened?
No, they increased the insurance. Oh, they had the lease for years.
Okay.
And they were looking at losing $12 million a month in operating expenses because the building had three floors occupied, empty, three occupied, two empty, five occupied, two empty, all the way up, 110 floors. They were looking at $600 to $700 million to clean up the asbestos because it had been built in 79 before the asbestos abatement requirements were known.
And then it comes down and they make, you know, $7 billion or something.
And then they increased the insurance 5 months before 9/11 from like $3 billion, both buildings combined, to $7.5 billion for both buildings, and they got an add-on to include double indemnity or full coverage for acts of terrorism.
And
5 months before, losing $12 million a month, looking at $600-700 million in cleanup for asbestos, the buildings were white elephants, and by the way, Goldman Sachs was involved.
They keep popping up everywhere. Yeah.
Goldman Sachs was involved with its London office having signed up some of the European investors in Silverstein's partnership that bought the lease rights and so forth to the buildings. And the Saudi royal family was one of the participating partners. And 15 of the hijackers are Saudis.
Uh-huh.
They were played like puppets on a string.
And the reason I don't think that at least the military couldn't really be involved because they, you know, it decimated the Pentagon. You know, 1/10 of the Pentagon got hit.
I can see no rational connection to the military. No. It was.
I'm a bit surprised the military isn't hunting down the people involved, you know, and whacking them in secrecy.
Read my historical novel when it comes out. You'll see.
Okay.
Very interesting.
All right.
By the way, I was scheduled for a meeting in the part of the building that was hit the week prior, and Thursday, prior to 9/11, the meeting was shifted.
somebody must have known.
It was just a coincidence. But I something else came up for me to work on the Hill. I did go to, and I might have been walking one of the corridors that morning.
Wow.
I did go to services for three friends of mine who were killed. One guy was under 50, and he had three children, all under 10. Pretty sad situation. I'm of the opinion that the airplane hit it, not the missile. I do not understand why the FBI won't release all the film.
Yeah, what's up with that film?
But I've talked to people who say they saw an airplane.
Yeah, okay? I think a lot of people would have saw a missile.
And including the guys at the gas station west of the Pentagon. I've been buying gas there for a decade. And I talked to them that weekend. By the way, that afternoon I went over to the building, naturally, from Capitol Hill, shortly at midday. And the light poles that had been put up in the 40s when the building was built were knocked down towards the building. Big, tall light poles, 60 feet tall or so.
Uh-huh.
They were knocked down totally consistent with airplane wings having clipped them, you know, at the base.
Yeah, I think it was probably an airplane.
So, and plus, that airplane could have hit the building if he had the throttle wide open and he was diving where he had lost aerodynamic stability. So that plane was falling like a rock, with jet engines pushing it faster than fall rate. So he might have hit, he might have impacted the building at least 590 miles per hour and possibly 780, close to the speed of sound, and possibly 1,100 miles an hour at the point of impact. Plus, that's part of the Pentagon that had been reinforced, that that three surface areas there. And the building was built to tolerate paper floor to ceiling when it was built in 43, because Franklin Roosevelt wanted it to be used for archives after World War II was over and won. So they added additional structural integrity of the building, steel rods and everything else, made the walls and the supporting floors and the walls stronger. So hitting the Pentagon, plus then it had the anti-Oklahoma City-style blast protection on that outer surface. So he, and actually the airplane reportedly comes around and hits the side he didn't want to hit. He wanted to hit the front side where the Secretary of Defense is on the riverside. But he hits the
newly reinforced side. He got bad
directions. Exactly. And he lost probably control. So we're talking about that thing maybe 900 miles per hour, if my analysis is right, hitting a mountainside. And that's why, but a mountainside that's got caves in it.
Yeah.
And so the fuselage went into one of those wide corridors, which are wide enough for two or three pickup trucks side by side, the widest ones.
Uh-huh.
The others are about as wide and tall enough for a tall pickup truck. So he, the factor is the engines and the fuselage had places to go after being near pulverized on the side of the building. And then the compression of the gas, and that's why, and then the aluminum burning with nearly full tank of fuel in the wings. That's why I'm convinced it was a building, it was an airplane that hit it, consistent with the reports. Why they're not releasing the films, I don't know. Now, could there have been a takeover otherwise? Yes. I think it's consistent that only the pilots who were part of the conspirators, Al-Qaeda fashion, knew. And the guys in the back, you know, didn't even know they were going to crash into things. Okay.
Well, the reason for this kind of thing is to get the public on the side of the government when it wants to go to war that the public might not
clearly
support.
Clearly the case, and it gets us occupied in the Middle East, and it gets us an excuse to go take other people's oil.
And look what happened to the price of oil, too. All of a sudden, Texas is making all kinds of money, just like with the former Bush.
Bottom line, if there's any person out there who wants to disagree with my analysis that the overwhelming amount of the evidence, if you bother to go 911truth.org, by the way, a pitch, 911truth.org,
okay.
Or Architects for Truth, Richard Gage's analysis, he's talked in Santa Cruz. I've met with him here, I've met with him in Berkeley, challenged his analysis, and he's completely convinced me that scientifically World Trade Center was blown up. And I'm convinced also that Bush and Cheney knew it was going to happen. If you look at how Bush flubs his where he was and what he can remember, explanations also at 911truth.org, Bush on 9/11, you walk away as a smart, intelligent person. Our government and the world was defrauded.
It just whole yeah. So with that, we'll go to a song.
On the darkest five seas.
You're a fascist, you may be surprised. The people in this world are getting organized. You're bound to lose, you're a fascist, bound to lose. People of every color marching side by side, marching through these fields, where a million fascists dies. You're bound to lose. And take my union.
When we're back, we're talking with Colonel Terry and a little bit about 9/11. He's got government background, military background, a top-level security. You've even been to Area 51, that's right?
I have. And by the way, I have, but I was not there on... No, the yellow card. There we go. There we go. I've been to the base outside Las Vegas, and where Area 51 is a component location, and I've seen some of the testing there. I have not, to be honest, seen what looked like or convinced me as a alien spacecraft. But I was there on some classified projects. There are stuff that could easily confuse somebody, such as the stealth fighter aircraft, the F-17, some years ago, and the B-2 bomber was tested there, and some other reconnaissance vehicles that could look like a saucer. However,
saucers? Really, saucers?
Yeah,
round?
I mean,
flying wings or something?
They could have looked like, yeah, they could have looked oval and so forth. And there are some other, you know, lifting body technologies as well. That doesn't mean that there isn't, because I was in compartmented activities. In fact, the clearance I had free is called Special Compartmented, SCI, the initials, and it means it's stuff higher than top secret.
Uh-huh.
And the compartmented nature came from stuff in Pentagon planning activities where you would have windowless rooms, and there are windowless rooms with...
Like our studio.
Yeah, with a guard outside, and in some cases you spin a lock mechanism, and only the 5 or 8 or 10 people assigned to that special project, that compartmented activity, intelligence or new electronics R&D, or in some cases some covert activity with the CIA or the National Security Agency, you would, or in some unnamed agencies, in fact, are still around town, only the 10 people that you worked with in that compartment would you discuss the project name or project name. So let's, as I was saying, you might have, let's say we had, I see on the board here, Fleetwood Mac. So let's say we had Project Fleetwood.
Let's say Project Rainbow. How about that?
All right, Project Rainbow. So you and I are in this special compartment in this sealed room with good ventilation, but a guard at the door, and then you've got to know the combination to get in and sometimes further in. So the files and the computers and the information, and there might be a Project Rainbow officer research lab activity, say at Los Alamos, okay, or at Livermore, or uh-huh. Air Force Base here in California, that would have a secure communications line to a similar compartmented room, secure sealed room, where people in the California Project Rainbow activity were doing their thing. So you would only, now sometimes you'd go on temporary duty and fly across to California, or they'd fly to Washington. But you would only discuss Project Fleetwood
in those
others
rooms.
In those rooms, or and only with others, if you met for a reason legitimate outside, who were in the same compartment.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, you wouldn't even tell the president about Project Fleetwood unless you were directed by one of your superiors, mm-hmm. also in that special compartmented activity. I mean, I'm of the opinion that the president was usually told. On the other hand, I heard when I was a younger officer, I heard some pretty senior Air Force generals have disdain for the incumbent president and his inability to pay attention. This reflected on Reagan.
Sounds like Reagan. Yeah. the incumbent incompetent.
In fact, he was caught discussing classified information with Gorbachev. You know, making conversation once. Forgetful was Ronnie. So he was cut out of the compartment.
I could just say Gorbachev, we have to invite him to dinner more.
Yeah. So Reagan was cut out of some of the arms control stuff we were doing, shall we say, for reasons of his own breach of security.
That's funny.
So the compartmented approach is interesting, and you know, people do it in business now. And that way they can't testify against each other any more than a certain degree. You restrict the information flow. The atomic bomb in the World War II. It was a compartmented activity. Mm-hmm. That's when kind of this. That's where this category and this arrangement for the formality of having the sealed room with it, and only those who knew the combination could get access to it, and you could only get access to the safes that you were authorized to have the combination for. So in my experience in SCI activities in the Pentagon, I always had a safe that was mine, and only I knew the combination, and then in case something, I get hit by a pie wagon or something, there was a reference somebody could go to. But I could set my combination so nobody else could get into it, except maybe the colonel at the time I was working for.
You weren't a colonel then?
No, I was a major then in that first activity.
One step down.
Well, yeah, two steps down.
Two steps.
Lieutenant colonel.
Or lieutenant.
Between the two of them. Anyway, yeah. For full colonel.
Oh,
point
okay.
being that it did keep information classified, and it's still mm-hmm. the SCI approach still takes place. So there is stuff higher than top secret by specialized categories and so on. And there were some funny and not so funny instances that would happen, and sometimes hilariously funny. And
are you talking about Area 51?
Yeah. Now, Area 51. Let's come back to that. There may be things at Area 51 that I didn't have a reason to know about because I wasn't in that special compartment information activity. I wasn't doing stuff related to it. So I won't write off the possibility that there are alien-like recovered craft at 51.
So it's also called Dreamland, which is what happens to our show when the Tangerine Dream mixes with mm-hmm. Frida Land, we turn into Dreamland.
But more likely there's classified lifting body technology.
What do you mean by lifting body? You mean anti-gravity?
Or possibly anti-gravity and possibly magnetic, electromagnetic force where you've got an electromagnetic emanation behaving like jet propulsion and rapid changes in direction.
You mean like right angle turns kind of thing?
Yeah. However, I will also tell you, I have seen stuff that was at 50 to 70,000 foot altitude.
You mean at Area 51?
Not Area 51, elsewhere, but on the California coast here.
Okay.
And a couple places.
You mean just as a person out on the beach or something?
That are still classified, but I won't go into.
So it was part of classified.
In my post-retirement role,
okay.
I have seen, as I also saw elsewhere, stuff at 50 to 70,000 foot. And I could guesstimate that because I was driving along the coast coming down from north of San Francisco, a couple hundred miles, and north of the city where that coastal road is absolutely barren. I mean, nobody on it. And it was 11 o'clock at night, and my car was the only one. And I got out of the, I stopped to do what guys do at the side of the road sometimes when they're alone. And they've been drinking
water. Well, don't get busted, but then you have to register as a sex criminal.
Anyway,
gotta be careful.
So I stopped because there wasn't a
your security clearance won't help you there.
Free, there wasn't a bathroom within 40 miles either direction.
Well, now you know how the homeless feel in Santa Cruz after midnight.
Okay, anyway, but absolutely clear, empty road.
Uh huh.
And I turned the lights in the car off, and I leaned back. I've got a convertible out here, and I leaned back with my arms in the top of the roof, and it's low, and the car's low enough where I can thrust my arms back, stretch my back after, 5 hours of driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the stars, crystal gorgeous night, and here is a disc, high altitude, moving across. And I could see the cliff distance down below, it was moon bright.
Mm-hmm.
And there was enough starlight, moonlight, enough reflecting light off the ocean. I could guesstimate the distances down from the cliffs and the distances to the next mountain, arroyo over and so forth. When I calculated that Eagle Scout fashion for distances and a few things I'd learned in the Air Force, and I 50,000 feet that thing is at least 35 and probably 50 or higher, maybe 70. And it didn't, I could see it move on the horizon and above the horizon and above me directly. And that sucker was going thousands of freaking miles per hour and then stopping and changing direction.
A right angle, right?
Both right angle and triangular. both.
Oh, like a 60-degree and
yeah,
a 90?
Yeah, 60-70-degree angle, sometimes 90 or close to it.
Because 90 suggests it's a magnetic force involved, because, you know, it's... cause of
but I wouldn't say 90 always, but, geez, close to it. I mean, incredible. And it would
so, I mean, the momentum would crush a pilot. You know, the G-forces would crush anybody in a normal airplane, correct?
And that thing was either a tumbling satellite that somehow was changing direction.
They don't change direction like that, though. Neither do meteors.
And it was too stable. It wasn't a meteorite because it didn't come down. It didn't.
They don't make turns, period.
Free, it kept the same illumination level.
Uh-huh. Didn't change color or anything?
No. Gold and silver. Okay. Gold and yellow. Kept the illumination, which could have been the sunlight, you know, okay. the yeah. angle, the frequency of the sunlight at that altitude.
Oh, this was during the day, you said?
Nighttime.
Nighttime?
This was 11 o'clock at night, and I could see, and it was, or it had self-illumination.
Self-illumination,
but
yeah.
it's possible.
The plasma.
Well, it's 70,000 feet or so. It could have been up high enough to catch sunlight.
Oh, is that what you're saying? But that's hours away. I mean, what was it, summer?
It was 9 or 11 o'clock, and it was summer.
Okay.
So it's possible. It was no later than 11 and
so
no earlier
than
8. So
the sun had just set.
Yeah. No
recently.
Earlier than 8:30 and no later than 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was more likely 9 o'clock. And, again, I've been driving a huge long time. I'd stopped for dinner 3 hours before. And it was just, so I keep looking and looking and that thing, and I do some calculations. And it and then it's joined by another one, and they both do this. So that now could it have been an American aircraft at high altitude doing strange stuff?
I like that.
Remotely possible, and I just you know visually
just
couldn't see what it was doing.
Got the distance wrong, or something. But then
satellite?
They still have the 90-degree yeah. turns. They don't, airplanes don't do that, right?
That thing was going 200 miles or further in a split number of seconds, a few seconds. And then starting the opposite direction or a 70-degree turn.
Did you get out of your car?
Oh, yeah. I was out of the car leaning on the top. See,
so there's a reflection on your glass either.
I looked at all that. I was leaning on the top of the black convertible top looking up with every light off. And there was nothing else there. The stars at a distance. The moon was way off. The moon was about 40 degrees above the horizon, inland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So when was this?
It was provided. 3 years ago.
Okay.
And it was providing the moon illumination, illuminated down to the ocean, so I could measure those distances at the cliff and look down ahead of me. But there's no way the sunlight or the moonlight was illuminating this thing directly above me, 35 to 70,000 freaking feet high. And well over 35, I'm sure. And it looked at the... I guesstimated it looked big, as in 747 dimensions or bigger. And capable of moving now. Could it have been a balloon? Could it have been a satellite and reflections of a rotating satellite, spinning satellite reflecting sunlight, or the solar panels on a satellite? Maybe. But it went, again,
too fast.
It went too darn fast, and it went, again, to the left, to the right, to the middle, to the center, for 15 minutes or longer. And then it had another partner joined it, and the two of them were traversing side by side great distances, 200-300 miles at a time, stopping, going back, sending out. So personally, I am a believer in the likelihood that thing was extraterrestrial.
Well, at least anti-gravity.
Correct. Or anti-gravity, and I'm more convinced than less convinced that given the known age of this physical dimension universe, we are this planet 4.5 billion years old.
Mm-hmm.
The universe is 14.7
like
perhaps.
That, yeah.
Physical dimension here, so the odds are extremely high. We got a couple of neighbors out there in the cosmos that are maybe 3 billion, 2 billion older years.
Absolutely.
More mature than we are, even if they're 500 million years more mature, even a million years more mature.
That's the thing. If there is somebody out there and they can travel in space, why the hell aren't they? They should be here by now.
I think that if they are that sophisticated, so let's say they're 20 million years ahead of us, free, and they didn't blow themselves up or poison themselves like we're doing.
Like we're about to do.
Okay. they may readily have a capacity to monitor us, again, time, space, dimension. Uh-huh. We know there's 11 other likely dimensions, according to Hawking and so forth, that we can contrive
of. Theory.
So they may well travel in another dimension and observe us, again, if they're even a million years ahead of us, but certainly if they're 500 million years ahead of us, as an evolved species, they can monitor us real simple without telling us they're here. I think that the sightings of especially the craft leaving the ocean, purportedly, they're reported, and some of the other UFO sightings, for sure, but the under-submerged clearly is them passing our time-space dimension to get out of here.
You keep mentioning the time-space because if they are using anti-gravity and, you know, those G-forces and those turns or something, that they're also beating inertia. Momentum is starting to be crushed. So you're defeating time. Einstein proved with his theories that time and space are interrelated. So when you do get that anti-gravity, you're also messing around in time, too. They could be time travelers. And you said parallel dimension. There's also, according to, you know, Schrodinger's wave theories, there's multiple dimensions. One of the explanations is there's multiple dimensions for the wave collapsing and stuff. So so when you do start fooling around with time, you could be on parallel timelines. These could be, you know, it could be us from another dimension, you know, a parallel, you know, where Washington didn't cross the Delaware, things like that. In fact, it's highly probable that that's involved. There's some kind of leakage. Yeah. And then you know, I study the Kabbalah, too, and they talk about the 10 Sephiroth or whatever, and there's the 10, they're poles, they're actually dimensions up, down, left, and right, and they say, you know, four and back and in time is one of the dimensions, and the fifth one is good and evil. So I was thinking those could be the poles of the fifth dimension as we would experience it, you know, as the universe splits off, every time you make a decision, you split into another dimension. But the ones we'd really notice would be the moral ones. So if aliens did come here, we'd probably see them either as demons or angels, because they'd be on a different morality plane than us. Or even in human society, there's huge differences.
It could well be that they're so intelligent, they don't want to bother.
We're not worth the effort.
Yeah, and we're so primitive to them.
And because of the interdimensional qualities, they may not be able to do anything here without change. They might be from our future. They might be able to do anything without changing their past, and so they can't do anything. That could explain why they don't do anything beyond at the periphery of our awareness.
No, well said. Interesting point. And again, if I were projecting my capacities to be, say, 10 or 20 million years advanced from where I am now, as the Dalai Lama told me in a dinner conversation, a sentient human being, I wouldn't bother with us. I'd look upon this. I mean, here's this species.
Or we may be property. There's some kind of, they're, you know, reaping a harvest and then knock us back into dark age and then reap another harvest. You know, who knows what they're up to.
I think we're just an interesting little behind. You know, we're a primitive portion of their unit. We're an older, we're a newer portion of the universe, much newer than they come from. And we are primitive little crawling, functioning things. Now, I was in a session, I won't go into all the details, in New York City with somebody who everybody in the room, we were convinced, had contrived a device and had a capacity to get outside this dimension and to receive information beyond this dimension. And a communication took place in English language. I don't think he was making it up. He had no motivation to do so. But the voice was neither male nor female. And we inquired, and it was obviously someone using bland English words. And this being critter, entity, said that it identified itself as beyond our time-space dimension, but the one that was capable of visiting here. And that there were three attitudes among these advanced civilizations towards us. There was one group that didn't care either way, whether humanity and this planet and humankind continued as a functioning, sentient, thinking critter. There was a group that wanted to help us, and he was of that group, that wanted to help us continue, evolve further, Mm-hmm. And then there was another group that wanted to destroy us, to help aggravate or agitate or bring about or make sooner our own mm-hmm. self-caused demise. So, and he said there was some competition between those that wanted to help us and those that were benign.
That's another explanation why we don't see them, because they may have laws like Star Trek had where you can't interfere. And so they probably, then in that case, they would be operating covertly just like we do in third world countries and stuff. And both those sides, just like Russia and us during the Cold War, would be helping and fighting it. And again, it might show up as a moral thing where the angels are helping us and the demons are trying to
bring
us down.
Now, that would also explain perhaps this consciousness, let's say metaphysically, the consciousness theory. And my own experience is, having been declared dead twice, which I don't normally say on the air.
Okay. Well, you look alive now.
I am. But having had that...
If you reveal any more about Area 51, though, I can't guarantee.
I didn't tell the Air Force Shrinks that. But having had that experience, the likelihood of another dimension of our consciousness, which lots of people in Santa Cruz, especially mm-hmm. Interlight Church and others, are familiar with. Mm-hmm. It could also be that this other dimension is just our consciousness moves there when our bodies aren't functioning, our mm-hmm. minds aren't no longer functioning. And that's perceived and confused as the soul or the other entity. And it likewise, entities who were once people and are now consciousness, whether it's a ghost in the haunted house or whether it's somebody perceived
energy
through a medium,
construction or
an energy perceived energy through a medium, something mm-hmm. they don't interfere typically, other than move a chair a little bit if mm-hmm. what you see on some of those programs about ghosts are accurate. But again, and they either don't have a desire to do so, nor or perhaps not a capacity. And the last thing I'll say is I'm very convinced from my own journey that this really is a primitive and needlessly painful dimension.
So, I think this is one of the lesser of the hells.
Yeah, so the
balance seems to be negative,
And one of the guys in my discussion group in Inner Light, he's got a book with a theory, and it looks well-informed. But the theorem this fellow from Australia puts forth is that there's 9 planetary evolutionary dimensions that our form and furtherance of it can migrate or experience, and that the Earth is at best number 3 in the 9 evolutionary levels, and probably number one
at the low end. It's like we're not the center of the universe either. We're on the edge of something, on the edge of something. That's
which
like
is
on the
consistent
middle of
with that. Which is, we're consistent that we get to go further in towards the center of the origin of the Big Bang in this time-space dimension, and again, others perhaps as we advance.
Well, more accurately, the Big Suck. It's an implosion, not an explosion.
Hey, I want to hear from anybody who has an opinion about this. Please call us at 831-427-3772. Again, Santa Cruz, 427-3772. Who's got an opinion about anything that Colonel Terry and Free have been talking about?
At best, we get people in cars. So.
Even if you disagree with it, well, stop your car, okay? And put that cell phone, pull over to the side of the road and turn that cell phone on and give us a call.
Call in.
427-3772.
All
you got a moment.
We'll go to a song.
Look what's happening on the streets. Got a revolution. Hey, I'm there.
And we've been talking with Colonel Terry. He's a military officer, worked for the government, seen a UFO, worked at the Area 51, too. So we've got quite a wide range of knowledge on various topics.
So I watched Ronald Reagan fall asleep in real important meetings with 12 other people, and the topic was, without giving any secrets away, how we were going to reduce accidental nuclear war, Mr. President, with the Soviet Union, and he fell asleep and was too mentally lazy to have read
the
briefing book that he took home for his four-day weekend right before this meeting, which was on a Tuesday, and he came back Monday from a four-day weekend, and it was his only homework.
And he had
about 60 pages.
Bush Sr. for advice, so he didn't have Cheney. There was no one in that White House that had a clue.
And Reagan hadn't read beyond page 3 of the 6-page executive summary. That's where you left a little gold clip. I was from twice the distance from you and me here in the studio. Well,
Nancy's astrologer probably told me you didn't have to anyways. They weren't going to have one during his term. And he was right.
That was, again, actor president, totally a creation of right-wing ideologues and so forth. Yeah. You know why Reagan became a Republican after having been a Democrat and a Harry Truman supporter? Here's what happened. He and Jane Wyman are getting divorced. It's like 1950. And Nancy Davis, and he had, she does her starlet thing with her father funneling money. Her dad had made a lot of money. He was an MD, but he'd made money owning pieces or sharing in pharmaceutical patents, some of them, and some medical device patents, a couple of which he was accused of stealing from other people. At any rate, Dr. Davis from Chicago sends his daughter out. She's out, and he confronts Reagan with, and a couple of people have said this, they know this anecdote is true. Ronnie said, Dr. Davis, I don't like you. I don't think you're that good looking. And you obviously aren't that smart. And I don't know what my daughter sees in you long term. But she wants to marry you. And, she and her sister are going to share in my fortune. But if you don't change your politics from progressive Democrat to Republican, I will cut her and you out of the will. And she'll get none of it. Because I don't want her sharing any with you unless you become a Republican. And Reagan rapidly changes his political affiliations to Republican and then starts the whole GE broadcasting thing and then him doing the radio dialogues that he put out to fool a whole lot of Americans by the millions that he actually thought about things deeply and cared. It was all a phony contrivance. And that's how he got the governorship and then later the presidential nomination by putting these 12 or 15 minute radio talks on a topic out, and he was just reading the script again. Then I saw him decades later. Just I watched the man as close as you and I are. He had no hardworking mental capacity. He was just a voice, and that was the extent of it. It's tragic, but I see it in Pelosi as well. She has no wisdom. She's clever, but she has no wisdom. I think Obama has wisdom, certainly in high IQ like Lincoln, and an integrity like Lincoln. I wish he had better staff than Emanuel and Axelrod.
He's got Goldman Sachs all over his
administration. Yes, and I wish, exactly, and the Treasury Secretary clown, and I wish he had better congressional leadership than Pelosi and Reid, who had a freaking year to bring about simple health care delivery, Medicare for everybody, staggered whatever, to stand up to the pharmaceutical companies, to enforce the antitrust laws on the broadcasters. Very simple. And instead, they used the year to extort money from the pharmaceutical and the drug companies and gave us all, at best, 20% of the health care reform we should have
gotten. Yeah, we didn't get very much.
Again, it's why do we tolerate it? And maybe we have to all join the Green Party and we all of us progressives. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping the Democratic Party can right itself. And
well,
I think.
Well, what about local elections here? I mean, we could. Have you thought of running, or do you have any candidates in mind? Or
right now,
there's an election coming up.
I'm busy, city council.
I'm
busy writing historical novels. I'm busy doing some stuff that combats cancer toxicity causes, and so forth. And I don't have presently. Maybe when I'm 72, I'll have slowed down enough where I could tolerate the slow snail's pace at trying to reform things in D.C. I've seen it up close.
Well, I don't mean. Enough. I mean just here
Santa in town, Cruz. Or here in town. Again, I think you sponsor some good people that are native Santa Cruzans in the city council for progressive stuff. Yeah, I'd be happy to help on some initiatives such as automobiles that are hybrids and battery-powered, park-free in Santa Cruz.
There you go.
Santa Cruz declares every roof is going to have solar panels on it. You get a discount for putting panels on.
Mm-hmm. I think they have something like that.
Berkeley model where the city is actually loaning you the money.
I think Rodkin was heard him talking about
that. I think Santa Cruz
like
has got that initiative.
Yeah.
The transition group, and I want to compliment the transition Santa Cruz people. I've attended a couple of their meetings.
What about generating our own power? How long do you think it would take to enact that in Santa Cruz?
We could probably sink some geothermal wells.
I mean purchasing separate
power companies.
Just
like
cut
Marin
PG&E
County
out. Yeah, exactly.
You could do what Marin County did in less than 2 years.
Less than 2 years.
Depending on how much financing you started.
So that's how long a council member term is, I guess.
You could do downtown Santa Cruz free.
Yeah.
Maybe in a few months you could designate.
Oh, right.
And then build out from that.
It's like a grid thing, so it takes a little.
Sure.
That's what takes the time. And it wouldn't cost much, right? How much would it cost?
$100,000 probably to do Pacific Avenue, both sides of the street, and then you could get that money back rapidly because you could have it.
We're going to spend $1 million for more cops just to protect that avenue.
I mean, there's lots of possibilities.
For a tenth of the price of what we're spending on police, we could get cheaper energy downtown, and it would all be green, too, environmentally sound, not part of the Iraqi war
and
or
then
anything.
Expand it. Right, it wouldn't be financing the Saudis to finance people to try and kill our troops.
And this
others.
Would be a simple decree by the city council.
Yeah.
Nothing really stopping it except the bozos in charge. Have they heard anything about it? Have you sent them anything? Or?
No. I mean, I have. I just finished helping Marin, on his contracts and defeat 16, which now lets Santa Cruz. Had 16 won, as everybody should know. PG&E would have not been in a position to have denied any other county doing what Marin did with its separate, cheaper, and cleaner power alternatives. Now that 16 was defeated, narrowly, Santa Cruz and every other county in California can have an independent, nonprofit electric distribution arrangement. PG&E has to, by state law, that Marin transport it and deliver it, has to do the servicing on it. There's no expectation or likelihood that you won't be able to get your circuit breaker fixed or whatever, or the transformer down the street fixed if necessary.
Uh-huh.
PG&E has to do that.
You know, I think this could. I mean, the clowns on our city council would probably be for this because the Downtown Association isn't against it.
Right, okay.
They'd be getting the cheap power, right?
Right.
No one's against PG&E,
if you're
right?
Running, the movie theaters downtown, how would you like to have your electricity at 25% less, maybe 70% less in a couple of years than PG&E is going to charge you?
Mm-hmm. I think this could be a win-win for everyone.
Exactly. And advertise great. And Santa Cruz could attract more visitors, tourists with...
I got to think they use all kinds of electricity at the boardwalk. They'd probably love it.
Another
and that'd be
point.
Really cheap. It'd probably be less than
$100,000.
That'd cost like, $10,000 or something, right?
Even a better example. Yeah, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
Well, they'd probably make it back in a year on their electricity bill or something.
I would agree. Well, I'll think about this. I'll think about putting a...
It's a proposal. You could write that up in afternoon or something, right?
All right.
a couple of days. You've got to edit it.
I do a fundamental. All right, Free. I'll take on the challenge. We'll talk.
You were a speechwriter.
I was also a project manager.
There you go.
Okay, among other things. Sure. All right, I'll put a project plan together. All right.
And all right,
we'll,
good
we'll
deal.
See if we can get
all
it
right. How long do you think that would take you to get the project plan together?
Mike, I'm busy until mid-July. but with other commitments.
So by the end of the summer, you could
travel. Yeah, of course. By the end of the summer, maybe by
We'll have you. You'll run it by him. We'll have you back on then, and we'll see how it flew.
Absolutely. All right, we'll plan sometime in July. We'll talk again about it, and we'll have the project ready. And maybe we can get somebody from the city council in who's signed on board,
because some of them are trying to get reelected. So this is a good time to put the screws to them.
Good point. Okay.
All right. Well, it's been great having you on. We covered a wide range of topics, and looking forward to seeing you again.
It was great fun visiting with you, friend, and commiserating, as they say. Be well.
All right. Thanks. See ya.
Society.